The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. And as is the case each and every hour, number two on Thursdays, it's time for Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberg, with his intro. Bill, where you at?
In New Jersey, still. I will be in studio next week, though, if you will be in studio Thursday next week.
I will be. I will be here.
I was planning to stay here a little bit longer, but just have some things to do on the West Coast. I was going to go to Saratoga. I think that might be plans might be scrapped. We'll see. I may make it back here. It's a lot of things that there were some big promotions this past weekend as far as video poker and casino. They had some really good things that go on here compared to Las Vegas are amazing bonus wise. That being said, I even lost five figures though. It's not guaranteed to win. I lost about 12 grand playing video poker over the weekend, but they had like 20 times cash back at one place. And they had, as a matter of fact, they had two different places, Oceans and Hard Rock, both had 20 times cash back, which means if you walk into the casino normally, you know, you get a certain amount of cash back, which is normally 0.1% or something like that. So that would mean when you have 2% coming back, obviously that means if you're playing almost any video poker game, you're going to have a positive situation. But that being said, you still have to hit a royal. If you don't hit a royal, like I did not, you will lose. So I know everyone likes talking about their winners. Bill Krakenberger also talks about the losers. So video poker, which is also the crack cocaine of gambling, it's almost a closet form of gambling. In other words, the 4 hours that they have that promotion, Gil, you're supposed to stop playing after that 4 hours because now you're going back to one times cash back. The amount of people that do not stop playing, or even some of the sharper people that do not stop playing, actually is very surprising to most. They have gambled. If they lose, they have more money in their pockets, but you have to end, you have to stop. And even though, like I said, I actually lost a lot more. I actually lost about around 17,000, but I have 5,000 in cash back coming from the two casinos. So there you have it. Talk about, my past weekend.
So every, you know, people are gonna, you know, we always wonder where Bill is, at least when you come on Thursday. I got a text I told you earlier this week. Someone sent me a picture. They weren't stalking you, but they recognized you over at Harrah's, and they snapped a photo. They're like, "Hey, how's Bill doing at Harrah's?" Do you want to tell that story at all?
Oh, that was, yeah, I do. Yeah, that was a bad experience. I'm upset about this, Gil, because I was very happy to be allowed back into Caesars Properties in Las Vegas. My casino host over at Caesars Palace, I was talking to him about getting back into the sports book. I was like, "Listen, I have a lot of credit throughout the company. I have a big credit line at your place for tables. Of course, you know, when there's promotions and stuff, I'll play them." I said, "Well, how can it be that Caesars owns the sports book now and I'm not allowed to play in the sports book?" Sure enough, go over and see the director. Went over to see the director. He gave him my ID. They needed a new updated ID. Gave him the ID. They turned me right on. And literally, I bet already six figures with the sports book on futures there. They're very good to me. And the director was said, "You're fine. You're back in. Come back to Atlantic City here." And there's a disconnect. There's a giant disconnect. And this doesn't only happen to me. Trust me. There's a lot of people listening out there in life. There's disconnects everywhere in every type of business. But in the sports book slash casino business, nobody likes to make a decision. Now, let me explain that to you. In other words, you ask someone and they're going to pass the buck along. Where I'll tell you, I talk about the advantages of East Coast gambling and these new jurisdictions compared to Las Vegas. Las Vegas has way the upper hand on stuff like this. To give you a perfect example, if I have a problem in a sports book in Las Vegas, I go to the counter, they go to a supervisor. If it can't be handled there, it can go up to the director. Let's use the South Point where you're at. I could go over there, talk to the South Point. They could talk to a supervisor. Supervisor can get me over to someone like, you know, anyone there, you know, Vinny or Chris, and they'll handle the problem. instantly or first day. That's not the case over here in these new jurisdictions. Even walking into Bally's the other day, I went to go make a bet at FanDuel, and the bet was not on the where they are at the counter. You cannot bet. Believe it or not, this happens at a couple places. It happens over at MGM, which is Borgata. Happens at Bally's, which is Bally's FanDuel. Even though it's a beautiful sports book, by the way, they built over at Bally's FanDuel book. So you go over there, and literally the kiosk can have something totally different than the counter. So they have to actually – now the supervisor there, he has no power to do anything. He could just call or text the hub, the mothership, which is at the Meadowlands, and hope to get those betting features, those betting options on the front desk there where the clerks are taking the bets, the tellers are taking the bets. So and you know what? That did resolve in my favor. Those guys were really good to me. I was trying to bet some CFL, and in about an hour, they did have the bets up in front of me where I could bet them right at the counter.
Yeah, Bill, I want to seize on the point about how you one national brand, who, by the way, we have said nothing but good words about here. Nothing but good. By the way, William Hill takes bets. They take massive bets. They have no problems paying them out here in Nevada. Thank goodness for them, by the way. Thank goodness for them existing here in Nevada, because if they didn't, we'd probably be down to one that fulfilled all those, or two that fulfilled all those criteria. So, you know, but what you were talking about is how you were effectively allowed to do anything in one jurisdiction under that umbrella, but in the other one, effectively banned. With low limits.
Right. My ADD, I got the subject. Sorry, Bill.
No, that's okay. That just speaks to the fact that, okay, one of those things is completely wrong by definition, right? Like, either you should be allowed to do whatever, or you should be limited. So that's clearly, you know, just like added to the list of things that these legalized sports books are going to have to try to work out, because that just makes no sense, right?
Still, as we speak here Thursday morning, when I went there to the sports book at Harris, by the way, they just don't know anything there at all. They hand you a piece of paper with an 800 number on it. So I called the 800 number, of course, and I knew I wasn't going to get anywhere, but I just felt like aggravating myself. I called the number, and, of course, nobody knows anything there. Now, a supervisor there, which they don't want to get on the phone. No one wants to talk to you. They just want – what they want to do, and this is almost collectively a blanket statement for a lot of the corporations in America, they just want to do their eight-hour shift, steal a paycheck, and go home without making a decision that could jeopardize their job. And – that's exactly what happened there. You know, they told me, call gaming. They'll handle it. Gaming?
Sure.
This has nothing to do with, the Casino Control Commission and gaming here. So it's frustrating that I have to go back to Las Vegas now and talk to the director over there and tell him the story. Because the disconnect is these companies that have the apps are run through a hub or even overseas. They're not being, there's not someone in the back room with a computer that can come right out and say, I'll fix that for you. That's not the way it works. But again, in Las Vegas, when you're there, let's say you're at, like I said, South Point, you could talk to someone and handle a problem instantly. So these are the pros and cons of these new sports books that, you know, like I said, the disconnects between the sports book and the customer.
I had the commissioner of sports betting on the show yesterday, Captain Jack Andrews, who I like to call the commissioner of sports betting. And he was talking about how, you know, and it's July again, we sort of get to reflect here when we're not inundated with football every day. We sort of get to reflect on the state of sports betting. And one of the things that he was very bullish on is that he knows for a fact, he's like, look, there's going to be a lot more sharp model books coming down the pipeline, speckled around the country. And so that's a good thing. He's looking forward to that. And he does believe that sort of the soft model, just to sort of go through the headlines of it, the soft model that some of these books have shown about, you know, limiting bettors oftentimes too quickly, even for their own good, as you and I have talked about, and, you know, only wanting really, the word that he used was lemmings to bet there. He actually thinks that that is proving to be not a profitable model and that the books are seeing that. So I thought that was interesting that he was so sure about that latter thing and certainly promising about the former.
As I do 90% of the time or even higher, I do agree with Captain Jack. That's absolutely fantastic that he would know of some books that are coming into the market that are maybe like the Circa brand was taking taking a bet. And that's your bonus normally too, though, with this with the sharper brands. They're not going to really give you the big bonuses that or the casino hosts that that these brands like the FanDuel's, DraftKings, and even, you know, all the big companies, actually, I can name five of them that have sports betting hosts, which, let's just be blunt, they're going to find out the guys that lose money, the guys that play in the casino that lose their money, because that's really what they want. They want you to play in the casino at nighttime when the family's sleeping. They want you to play online, and that's the host that call you up and give you these 10%, 20% deposits. But the sharper sports books probably won't give you something like that, but they'll give you the option to be able to bet. And that's definitely something that I want to be able to do. And maybe even, you know, I really believe this. I believe that someone can come along and charge 108 or 107 and get all the business. I really do. If people realize what their value that is long-term of a reduced juice book. I know Richie Bocciolari and I have talked about that in the past. That would get a lot of the business anyway. So that's interesting subjects there. And yeah, after the break, I got some more stuff on this.
Yeah. Let's find out what you're betting on these days, too, if you might share, just sports-wise, sure, what you're betting on. Bill Krakenberger, everybody, Unscripted with the Crackman. You can follow him on Twitter at Bill Crackman with a K. The name of the podcast, Wise Cracks, with Bill Krakenberger and John Orlando. Tony's son, by the way. On the other side, more Bill. On A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Sign up today, and you'll get VSiN's daily MLB best bets, including, or daily best bets, period, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features the daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost, only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. That's VSiN.com/summer. Gil Alexander, Bill Krakenberger, live from New Jersey. Bill, what are you betting on these days, mid-July? What's going on with you?
Let's see. Well, WNBA.
Really?
WNBA, Summer League. Summer League, definitely. There's some really good advantages to Summer League.
Okay, can we talk about this? Can we talk about it?
Sure.
Let me interrupt you on that.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Summer League. I mean, I'll give you an example of why, too. You know, you have to know the starting lineups, and you have to know the know who's going to play and how long they're going to play. And you can actually, you know, you can actually get that from after watching a couple games too. So you have to put work in. The sports betting is not easy. This is a job. So there is betting opportunities. People don't even realize you can bet on Summer League. So you definitely can, and there's definitely some opportunities.
I was letting people know I bet on the Chet Holmgren debut the other night, which was easy peasy. But really, honestly, you do look at the rosters and you can see big differences. Now,
Right. Obviously,
bookmakers see those rosters too. But yes, if you care enough and if you apply yourself enough, you might be able to see patterns of playing time that might show some inefficiencies in the market for sure. But I love that you're betting on that. And so for those who are new to your segments, can you, because we should do this every once in a while, because I shouldn't assume that people know
what
you do betting wise. You are a guy. Well, describe your betting, because it's not like you're originating. You surround yourself with a bunch of people.
Yeah, you know, Gil, that's something you said, something really good there. I assume people know what I'm talking about in general. And I'll go to this after I explain what you wanted me to explain here. And I have that's a bad habit of mine that I assume people just know what I'm talking about. I put a tweet up the other day, and I'm going to get to talking about that right away. But going back to what you said. So, yes, surrounding myself. Listen, I used to do all my own work. I did all my own charts and power charts back in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. And basically, I have just found the sharpest people, I feel, surround myself with some of the sharpest people in the world that I work with. And And that's how I get my games and my advantages. Now I just do a lot of the betting. Now there's some common sense things too that doesn't take a lot of work. The best example I can give of this is living in a jurisdiction that has square sports books, like even Nevada, the stations, maybe even, you know, I noticed that, maybe giving away a little bit here, but I noticed that the Wynn really has some one-way action on favorites. You can pick off some dogs there. This is called market handicapping, by the way. You could just literally see, let's see one of your favorite teams, like the Kansas, not yours, Gil, but the public, the Kansas City Chiefs is -7. And you'll find like stations will have -7.5. Now around the key numbers, it's key. You know, if around a 3 or 7, if you can get a 3.5 instead of a 3, it's almost market handicapping on stuff like that. But that's not what I do per se. I'll do that if I'm in Vegas, just pick off some weak numbers. But what I do is surround myself with some of the sharpest people in the world, like I said, and you have be able to talk on air.
Yeah, so you have a summer league guy, in other words, is what you're getting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he does summer league, and he also does WNBA.
Okay.
So he does both.
So let's talk about WNBA for a second.
Sure.
Because we both know people who, over the years, swore by betting WNBA. I mean, I know one of my buddies on the East Coast, that was all, he was all about the WNBA. Do you find, like, if I were to go through the Bill Krakenberger year of different sports, from pro football to college football, basketball, both baseball, you know, everything, where does the WNBA rank in terms of profitability?
You're right. It used to rank maybe not one, but maybe number two, college basketball being first, especially the first 2 months of the sport of college basketball. Same thing with WNBA. It's much harder to beat WNBA. Now, I mean, I am winning at it for the year, but not the percentage that I was winning years ago. So your friend is absolutely right, especially the soft beginning of WNBA, where now it gets a little bit tougher. So you're absolutely right. That was the big thing years ago, was WNBA and some of the other football leagues that they had, the Arena League, and some of the there was a lot of information the bookmakers couldn't pick up on that.
Did you bet USFL at all? That just ended with the Birmingham Stallions winning the championship. No.
No. There's an example. USFL. There's one of the things that wasn't really covered big. You think it'd be beatable? I know many sharp guys that tried to beat this sport this year and did not. So we did not mess with that. Thank God.
Yeah, WNBA, there was like a total last night that went 50 points over the number. Now, I'm going to assume that that's not a normal thing, right? But again, this is sort of our summer of 22. You know, when we were talking about NBA draft, hitting the number one pick, college baseball, hitting Ole Miss. This is, again, for those just landing on the show or on the network for the first day, listen, the sports that we love the most as fans, it just, you can't repeat this enough, are typically not the ones that you will make the most money betting. That's just how it is. Those markets are much more efficient. I walk out into the South Point Casino right now, everybody has an opinion on pro football, right? Everybody's got one. But they don't on golf, they don't on tennis, they don't on the WNBA, they don't on USFL, which didn't work out, you said, and they certainly don't on rookie, on summer league, which I want to delve into this a little more, and you can tell me as much as you're willing to. So you're a summer league guy. Is he present at the games? Is he trying to beat in-game numbers before the book gets to them as well? Is he trying to see if there's a time lapse in that respect?
Boy, is there a live wagering on these summer league games?
There used to be.
That.
I don't even know if there is anymore.
No, we do pre-flop. I'll tell you, I know there's advantages to live wagering. No, it's something I'm like to look at down the line here. I know of two different guys, and I'm not going to mention them, and most of the public knows who they are too. They beat live wagering and they swear by it, but it's so tedious to do so much work pre-flop and then have to sit around and do live wagering. Now,
I'm literally just talking about mechanical things. And yes, for people who are like, oh my God, would you exploit this? Well, yes, if I was at the game, I would too, probably, but I'm never at the game. But like, I know guys that were at the Aviators games, for instance, right? We're talking about minor league baseball now, beautiful stadium in Summerlin for the Las Vegas Aviators, who they had an advantage in terms of if you were at the game before, because there were live lines dealt by some of the books here in town, right? And they were slower on the live lines than was actually happening there by enough of a margin where you, enough of a distance in time where you could get in there and you could, you know, you could absolutely take advantage of that. The books took a while to get hip to it. But these are things that some bettors do, and it should be noted that, you know, look, one of the things that they do in exploiting that is they don't get too greedy. They're not a pig about it, right? They want it to last as long as possible, so they're not hammering it. But they do it just enough so that they can exploit it for as long as possible until a book notices it. So I don't know if they do it for Summer League anymore this year. We'll find out if anybody does it. But I just, I'm curious if your guy at all thinks about stuff like that.
Well, we haven't done anything like that so, up till now. We do pre-flop betting because it's not really covered like the NBA season is covered. People don't take it serious. So, and that's what you said before. To the viewer or listener that's listening, this is not – we don't talk about NFL – well, at least I don't talk about NFL sides because I know that's so hard to beat. NBA side, so hard to beat. But however, they're probably the number one and number two most popular sports among the you know, men under 35. Well, I should say NFL is just for everybody, really. And I even look forward to the NFL season because I like to bet on things that are like proposition bets. And I also bet totals. I bet first half totals. And having so many different places to bet at, you know, I can get the best of the line. So there's a lot of different things that goes into this. But you'd be shocked to know if you're not following closely, that most pros stay away from NFL sides and NBA sides. So that's a great point you bring up, and it's something that I just assume people know, again, and they do not know. So going back to the tweet, I put up a tweet last week. They got over 46,000 full views. It's still on my Twitter about these people on these machines here in Atlantic City. Atlantic City has a lot of hustlers. They have a lot of machine pros that know about the machines. When they're going to hit because of the progressive bonus is up to a certain amount or because of there's a features on machines that build up from the players before them and people don't know they walk away or run out of money and they just walk away and these people hop right on the machine there and have an advantage machine. So many people in the tweet came in and said, this is not beatable. What are you talking about? They don't realize that it is beatable and stuff. So you have to put it in more of layman's terms like you're saying. And that was one of the problems I did not do. And I explained it a little bit more. You know, one of the best guys in the world at this is our buddy Randy McKay. And he's an open book, too. He helps people. Good guy. But he helps me also.
I have respect for you all. I go from machine to machine, from city to city. Like those guys, like McKay, it's amazing for sure. Not something I delve into, but amazing to observe. Coming back, more Crackman, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Speaking of Summer League, VSiN will be broadcasting live from NBA Summer League now through July 17th. Catch the edge with Jonathan Montobel and Matt Humans, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, live from the NBA Summer League every weekday. We'll also have special guests, exclusive content, and live updates all throughout VSiN shows. For more, follow us at VSiN Live on Twitter and at VSiN Live on YouTube. It's Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. We lose the tennis match. Boy, the match-by-match at Wimbledon has just been disastrous here. I joked after we hit all those four futures in the month of June that we were going to go 2-17 at Wimbledon. Well, we haven't quite gone 2-17. But it has not been a good Wimbledon, and we lose this because Simona Halep gets... Listen, she only lost at 6-3, but she really got rolled in that first set by Elena Rybakina, who could not have played better. Just absolutely dominant on the court. Now we'll see if Halep can even come back and win this match, but Rybakina from Kazakhstan wins the first set 6-3. So our straight set bet at minus 118 on Halep goes by the wayside. Billy Krakenberger's with us at Bill Crackman with a K on Twitter. Wisecracks with John Orlando and Bill Krakenberger is the name of the podcast. You wanted to, before we get to something you wanted to talk about, so just let me, your sort of hierarchy in a calendar. What would you say your number one most profitable sport is consistently over the years? Can you answer? Is there an answer to that question?
And that changes if you don't evolve, by the way.
I agree.
So college basketball was always the number one for years. But boy, I tell you, this is almost hard for me to say. I cannot believe how good NFL football was last year.
That's crazy to me. Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, NFL football ran almost, 64% ridiculous. Well, you're putting props into the equation, of course, but even my totals even ran 60%. So last year's NFL was, but the beginning of college basketball is always good also. But over the years, I would have to say college basketball, but that can change. Listen, WNBA used to be in that mix. So everything changes, and you have to adapt and change also. Even the most accomplished sports bettors in the world, if they don't change, they'll get left behind.
No doubt.
There were some groups in the past that were unbelievable in the past that can't even beat the game anymore. And, when you have someone like myself or even you just now on tennis, very transparent about losers, we talk about losers too. We talk about losing months. I mean,
people love to say you don't, but we do all the time on this show.
I talk about losers all the time.
What you're saying is 100%. Again, 5-10 years ago, I would have said it's baseball. Nothing else comes close, right? I barely bet baseball anymore, right? Pre-flop. To me, the sport has changed so much with starting pitchers coming out so much earlier that it's much more hard to quantify. And you got to bet it earlier and earlier. You used to be able to get away with betting it in the morning of, then you had to go earlier in the morning, then you had to do an overnight. And so you just, there were other adjustments you had to make. If you're not evolving, you will get left behind. And so, yes, it absolutely, and by the way, there are peaks and valleys even when you're doing right? So here we are, in tennis at Wimbledon, right? We're having a bad tournament, but that doesn't change the fact that it's still the sport that is the best for us. But one day that will change probably, right? And you have to just continually evolve with that stuff. That is the most tried and true thing about sports betting, period.
21 years ago, I was privy to a meeting in Curacao, which, I could talk about this stuff now, but even the beginning of the show, when I first came on your show 4 or 5 years ago, I never talked about this kind of stuff. I was privy to a partners meeting actually at Curacao. And of course, what I'm talking about is Pinnacle. Henry, the guy that was one of the owners of Pinnacle, this is all public information now, he said, and I've said it on this show before, can't wait till baseball season comes because we make more money baseball than any other season, even soccer at the time. So baseball's daily, it's every day. And by the way, this is all with half the juice that is on NFL and college sports, 105 juice instead of 110. So this is a very interesting thing that he would say that. And I asked him about it. And he said, yeah, just every day people bet and it's just the hardest sport to beat. So that's kind of
interesting.
That especially later in the season after the All-Star break, big money. It's a lot of the sharp groups that bet baseball, they actually stop before the All-Star. They stopped the week before, like right around now, and they're done. Their season is done for the year.
See, I typically today I would imagine the answer would be the NFL. Obviously, people like Las Vegas Chris are an anomaly or exception to that kind of thing.
Sure,
but what we always talk about here. We talk about golf is the sport most ripe for a betting revolution. I have a feeling golf is the one that they might like booking the most beyond the NFL, especially
the majors,
especially the Masters, right? Where they have an entire winter where they're taking endless amounts of outrights, just minting money on it. And we have to talk about it. We're interested in betting it. You and I even admitted we overbet like the U.S. Open,
sure.
Right? Even, and we're susceptible, but it is interesting to think about where the books quietly, like to themselves, are like, oh, this is phenomenal. Keep talking about golf, right? Like, this is great. Sounds great when someone hits a winner, but generally they're just minting money on it. You wanted to talk about something that was on your mind here regarding, was it hold percentages?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought this was a good subject matter. So what percentage do you guys think, I'll ask you and Jeff this, what percentage of the money that's deposited in sports books for their apps, what percentage do you think the sports book can just spend? And literally, I mean, they're not supposed to spend, but what percentage do you think that they hold of the money that comes in? So for every $100 that come in, what do you think gets returned to the sports bettors in the end? Now, there's a different percentage for the apps that are in Nevada here, or the apps that are in the United States, than sending your money to far off places. There is a difference, by the way. But what do you think the percentages are?
I wouldn't even hazard a guess. I wouldn't even hazard a guess because there's too many like splinters to that. Jeff doesn't want to hazard a guess either.
The offshore number would absolutely shock you. The offshore number is almost 90%.
Yeah, that means I would imagine that would be a large number. Yes.
That's all. Now think about the different moving parts, though. Offshore, you're depositing through, I don't even know how you deposit now. Do you deposit, I guess, credit card, bank wire, but a lot of those things are hard to do now. So however you deposit, through PayPal, through any, you used to be NetTeller, whatever the percentage, whatever the people that are depositing offshore, it's harder to get your money back than it is here in the United States, where you just go to a counter or send an email and you get your money in a day or two. And that's, by the way, another big advantage for Vegas compared to the other new jurisdictions. Here, you have to email customer service, and then you get approved to get your deposit. It's not always the same day. It could be the next day. Some of them have 24-hour guarantees now, but there was 2 days that I've waited multiple times.
How is that not more efficient? One wonders.
I don't know. You know, gaming cracked down on this, though. They were saying, you know, they got a lot of complaints from people saying, I can't get my money. It's taken literally 72 hours sometimes to get their money. People come down to Atlantic City for the weekend. They want to put their money in the app. They think they can get the money back when the day's over. No way, buddy. No way. But DraftKings now, you can't. DraftKings is very good at it. They have really sped that process up. You can go right to resorts and get your cash back. But other places, it's much harder to get your money. And that's not just here in New Jersey. That's the new jurisdiction. So going back to the original question I said.
Yeah.
So I think the whole percentage of the apps that are in the States, you'd be surprised to know it's still probably around 75%, 70-75%. But offshore, 90%. And this comes from one of the big sports books that, you know, was taking hundreds of millions of dollars in deposits throughout the year. So I just thought people would be shocked to know that it's that kind of money that's being held by the sports books and casinos. And you know,
offshore offshore, would you say, still dominated though by like massive whale bettors who are betting amounts of money that we couldn't imagine as mere mortals, right? So like, you know,
you're saying individual bettors?
Yes. Yeah, I'm wondering if that's still the biggest pie of it.
I would think individual bettors that are betting five figures a game, or, you know, 10,000 a game, let's use the number of 10,000 a game. I would think, believe it or not, that those type of bettors have hurt the offshore sports books where they used to get that kind of volume. Mm. I think those type of bettors would feel safer putting their money in a DraftKings or a FanDuel, something like that, public corporation. But then again, you always have to remember how these companies are being policed. You know, we had a sports book in Las Vegas there years ago, and people would go in, you would think that your money's safe, Gary Austin sports book. And Gary closed one night under the cover of darkness and just left. And this was a book that was right on the strip. A lot of the old timers will know what I'm talking about here. They took off with the money, and literally Gary went offshore and you know, took his millions, and you know, he actually, you can Google his name. He was just arrested recently, and they took like $6 million off him. So it's kind of interesting.
Bill Krakenberger, live from New York, Unscripted with the Crack Man, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. More on what's on Bill's mind, quite frankly. On the other side, just his thoughts on the state of the state, what he's been betting on. And we'll get more into the sports that have been profitable for him through the years and those that have not been, perhaps just as importantly. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, bonuses and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay in the house. Bill Krakenberger as well. Bill, before we get to something else you wanted to talk about here, what are the sports that have killed you the most over the years?
That I've lost the most over the years?
Yes.
Boy, that's an interesting question. I hate to not think of anything.
Come on. Something's had to have had the best of you over time.
I had some big swings, maybe. Believe it or not, I had some big swings in baseball over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't killed me, though. I've actually won over the years.
Well, forget killed. Let's just say probably okay. In the red on.
That's a better way to put it. Probably in the red on. Gil, I honestly don't want to sound like I'm, being pigheaded here. I just, over the years, if that has happened, it would be something that I quit and said, I can't beat this. And, there have been some, you just said it, the USFL, I didn't even mess with it this year because I was so scared to bet it and send it out to my guys. I don't want to lose. So, if I can't think of something, maybe it would be the USFL or better yet, when something has changed over time, I see a trend going to the opposite way. I'll pull up, even if I won earlier in the year, I'll be more hesitant to give out something later in the year. I know that that's happened in Arena League also, and some certain things that it's happened. Earlier in the year, you're going to win when the market's softer almost in anything. But it's a good question, and I would think that I'd have an answer for you next week.
Okay.
Next week's show.
Okay.
I have to think about it. It's a great question.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, see you in a week.
Okay. See you in a week. you wanted to talk about something that you brought up here, or we talked about, and then Vinny chimed in on it about when you accounts – that what happens to betting accounts when someone passes away. And Vinny was talking about here at the South Point how they have a very defined procedure that you can actually fill out paperwork anticipating such an event, right, whether it's imminent or not. But you said that's not the norm.
We talked about this a few months back.
Yeah.
We talked about this a few months back on the show, probably 3 months ago, and Vinny reached out to me right away and actually gave me the form when I was in there at the South Point. I don't know anyone else that does that. So you could have a form where – even you could add your wife's name to it or your family, your next of kin's name to. And honestly, I think when people pass away, I don't know how they can get the money. I think it would be very difficult to get your money from a lot of these companies. Now, I'm not trying to say that the ones in Las Vegas, I think, will be easier. Maybe it's just a death certificate. It's a subject you don't want to talk about. I understand, but we all die. We're all going to die. So a death certificate or something like that. But I know the trials and tribulations I go through just to make a bet at some of these companies. Never mind to try to get my money back or for some family member to try to get money back, when I expire. So I just realized that it was just a subject that should be talked about. People keep money like myself. I don't touch the money in my apps. My money is in, some of my apps for years. That's not to say I won't take out little pieces of it, of course, over the time, but I need a bankroll to bet with certain sports, so I keep the money in there. I think it's almost, it's really safe as almost safe as anything as a bank. So, but it's an interesting subject. I was happy that Vinny reached out to me. The South Point does that. I would like other companies to be able to do that. That's just something it's subject matter you don't want to talk about, but it should be talked about. Companies should have this type of form like the South Point has.
This is I want to get to this tweet because this was directed at you. I probably should have checked this before, but this was from J-Rod, who wanted to ask you a question. This gets into, I'll ask you a general question first, and then I'll get into J-Rod specifically, which is,
yep.
I want to give listeners something actionable here. You're on the East Coast, you're taking advantage of promotions. Can you give an example of the different kinds of promotions that you take advantage of and how actively you're doing that from book to book?
Yeah, once you get on an email list too, once you get on a list of a marketing list, it's really good. Like I get emails all the time from some of the big companies. We're having this bonus or that bonus. Or I just seen they had 15% on summer league games. So a $500 max bet they're going to be 15% more, which is $75 more if you win. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, 15% is really good when you're, you know, you're laying 110. So, you know, they have a 5%, let's call it 5% advantage on you. And now they're giving you a 15% bonus that helps that. But what I also, I read J Rod's and I made a copy of it because I was going to address it at the end of the show.
Let me read J Rod's.
Yeah, so
J Rod said,
sure, read J Rod's.
Bill, when you're on with Gil, can you comment on all these boosts regarding yesterday? Yanks to win and over seven runs was boosted at a shop like FanDuel to +180. It hit, but how would you evaluate them? And what of promos like these? I see a lot of parlays or same game parlays and get bonus bets. Thank you.
Yeah, the same game parlays I would stay away from. I know people, the books are going to hate me for that, but if they're offering a same game parlay, you can guarantee the advantage is them. However, what J-Rod's talking about here is boost with caps on max bets of $50. I think he said $50. Yeah, so this is $50 or $80, but the ones he made copies of here is $50 and $80. So they have a cap. That means probably they're dangling a little carrot at you, J-Rod. They're probably giving you a little bit of an advantage. Now, that's pretty simple. You can just work out the math of a parlay of the Yankees and over to see if it pays more than one. I think it was 180, he said, and to see if it's an advantage. And it might be. Sure, it might be. When a boost compared to a same-game parlay is two different things. Same-game parlay, sucker bet, boost probably is in your favor. But then again, I've seen boosts that aren't in your favor. Just work out the math there. So it's a fantastic subject matter.
Do work out the math. Work out the math for sure. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Just if you go to a parlay, if you can't figure it out in your head, two teams is pretty simple. But you can just go to a Google parlay calculator and you can figure out, you know, you just put it in there. I know some of the sites have parlay calculators on them. It's pretty simple. But the boosts usually, like I said, are limited to a certain amount of money. And they're probably giving you a little, throwing you a little bone. I know I get the emails with a lot of the boosts. Some of them, I have to admit it, I don't do a lot of the boosts, and I'll tell you why. There is such thing known as being a boost whore, you know, taking advantage of too many of the boosts, and therefore they'll consider you a boost advantage player. If you're betting just boost, you're getting thrown out.
Well, you're getting limited to nothing. You shouldn't bet just boost, but really, but even that will come across as strange to people. Like, if you're offering them, I'm not supposed to play them, right?
That's very, very true, Gil. You're spot on, spot on.
Give another example. Like, if you can, of like certain promotions where, again, same game parlays, we've discussed that. Boost, always check the math. Don't play too many of them. What's another one that is not appears?
I've had decent balances in sports books, and I can't believe they actually send me re-up the deposit bonuses sometimes too. This is something I know you didn't ask this question, but in other words, I'll have, let's say $1,000 in my account, and they'll actually say, hey, if you deposit $1,000 again, we'll give you $200 in free bets. So they don't even realize you have that amount in your account. This is just for someone that bets $50 a game. You should take advantage of that. But they do email you also the same game parlay stuff almost every day if you don't opt out. So they're telling you what they have. Most of the time, that's a bad – I don't know who came up with this SGP thing. They really are absolutely almost overboard with same game parlay promotions. You see the little girls on TV and the sexy dangling same game parlays and stuff. And you might get overwhelmed by what you're seeing and start playing them. That's the idea behind it. But we're here to tell you on VSiN and an Advantage Sports Betting Show that you shouldn't do that. So that just helps out the people.
Okay. Anything else on your mind before we go? We have 30 seconds.
SMG just said, listening to you on VSiN, offshore is now all Bitcoin deposits. He's right. There's only two or three offshore sports books I'm trusting, by the way, that I would trust. And one of them right now, up until August 1st, is offering 100% bonus up to $2,000 if you send them Bitcoin. I almost say to myself, how can that be? It's real money. This is how much, I guess, they believe in Bitcoin. But it's just a good advantage with a book that I would trust, too. So look for those type of bonuses, too, I guess, if you're in the BTC market. That's all.
Are you in it? Do you deal in it at all?
I have Bitcoin, but I don't usually deposit at sportsbooks. I don't like depositing anywhere.
Here's the big question.
This one I will take advantage of.
When you get paid, do you prefer Bitcoin or you prefer in cash these days?
They're only going to pay you Bitcoin on that kind of situation normally.
No, 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 but just generally, if you had the option.
I prefer cash.
Okay.
Cash is king.
Bill Krakenberger. The Lombardi Line is next. Dave Ross, your host.
See you guys.
It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.